Good morning. Welcome to this worship service, the First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan, on this second Sunday in September. We're glad to have those of you who are with us in the sanctuary this morning, as well as those who are watching online in our hybrid community. Wherever you are welcome here. Several announcements. You'll find cards in your order in your bulletin for Connect cards. If you fill those out, we'd love to have that information from you. Also, during the singing of the first hymn, the ushers will come down the aisle with prayer cards. If you have prayer concerns for the prayer time in the service that you'd like lifted up, please put those on the prayer card and the ushers will pick those up. We have several important announcements this morning. The gathering has started to gather on Wednesday nights, and we are in need of people to sign up to provide meals. You can either do a home-cooked meal, or you can make a contribution so that we can purchase a meal. I can assure you that the students that show up probably prefer the home-cooked meal, but you do what you can do. Be greatly appreciated. Our adult education will start today. We will meet in the memorial lounge downstairs, and we'll talk about Walter Brueggemann's book, Sabbath as Resistance. We'll probably be a couple of weeks on that, but we'll start this Sunday after the fellowship time, which will be held outside, out the front door toward the parking lot, so look for your refreshments out there. And then remember to come back for adult ed and children's choir and all the events that are starting, youth group that are all starting today. We're going to start two Bible studies starting this week. Clay Scott is going to do a Bible study on Wednesday night. If you haven't signed up for that, I'm sure it's not too late for you to sign up. That'll be on Wednesday evening. A regular Bible study on Wednesday during the day will not happen this week, because I'll be on vacation. I'm leaving this evening for Idaho and Seattle, and I'll be back on the 28th. And I'm grateful to Rolf Bauma, who will be covering the worship service next Sunday. And then I think the last thing is that there is an Ad Libitum concert here in the sanctuary next Friday, the 19th, an organ concert. So please come and be part of that and invite a friend to come along with you. It's a great way to introduce people to First Baptist Church. I think that's all the announcements. Jeremy? Yeah.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship. In you, beloved, I would make my home. Though I be humiliated with guilt, your mercy and forgiveness will deliver me. Hear me and hasten my assistance. For you are my strength and have the power to raise me up. Yes, you are strength and truth to me. Lead me and guide me that I may grow. Loosen me from the net which entangles me, for your heart is my home. Into your hands do I commend my soul. You have redeemed me, O love, faithful one. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which is ever present to those who reverence you, and available to all who make your heart their home, openly for all to see. Like a mother hen, you shelter them from temptations of the world. You hold them safe under your wings from the enemy, fear. Blessed be the beloved, who has wondrously shown steadfast love to me when I was beset by an army of fear. I had said in my fright, I am separated from your love. You heard my pleas, and I cried for you to help. Listen in the silence, all you saints. The beloved upholds the faith-filled, but those who separate themselves from truth and goodness know not love. So be strong, and let your hearts take courage, all you who would know love.
Thank you.
Pray with me, please. Holy and loving God, you have created the Sabbath day and have met us in your sanctuary. Fill us with knowledge and wonder and praise that we might experience you more intimately, love you more deeply, and worship you more fully today and always. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew. Knowing the correct password, say Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what God wills. I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say to you? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built her house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. When Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They'd never heard teaching like this. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying. Quite a contrast to their religious teachers. This was the best teaching they had ever heard. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Friends, today we hear a story from Jesus, a great storyteller. The people around Jesus were so glad to hear his storytelling and his teaching. And let's look at some of the things he talked about. I'm going to put this down right here, and this will be very hard because we're not going to actually touch it. So will you do two scoots back? Will you do two scoots back, you two? We're going to put this here for our storytelling. Ooh, what is that? Can you tell us? Say loud so everybody knows what that is. Sand. Oh, and then we've got, what are these? Yeah. Here's my question for you. Using your eyes, what would you decide if you were a builder, like Amelia and Eleanor's dad? If you were a builder, what would you choose to build your house on? Would you choose to build your house on the brick, the rock, or would you choose to build your house on the sand? Which one would you choose? The brick. Why? Why might you choose to build your house on the brick? Okay, I'm going to do this so we don't. Because why? Because it's harder. It's harder. And stronger. It's harder and stronger. It would not work. It would constantly be when the wind comes and when the water comes. As Emma says, it would just
break your house.
It would not work.
It would just blow away.
I love how you guys say exactly what Jesus said. Jesus says, hey, if you're going to build a house, you build it on rock. You don't build it on sand because that won't work. I'm going to tuck this away. That won't work if you build it on sand because it'll constantly be changing and it will fall down. It won't work. But now listen, Jesus says we are like either the bricks or we're like the sand. He says, don't just listen to what I say and then not do it. Don't just listen but not do it, because then you're like the sand. But if you do it, what I say, love others, love God, then you're like the rock. Then you're like the rock. A strong foundation. So, Jesus says, don't just say, oh, I hear you, I'm going to love others, and then you be rotten. That's what Jesus said is like building on the sand. Jesus says instead, listen about what it means to love others and then do it. Do it. And then I love this part. In our reading today, our version we read today, it says it was such good news. The people appreciated the story so much that guess what they did at the end? They clapped. So can you clap? Clap. Yes. They're like, Jesus, thanks for the story. We're going to pay attention. Don't just listen and think you're the most important. Jesus says, instead, listen and do. Show the love, and then you're like a house built on rock. Can we do it? Can we be listeners and doers, hearer and doers, not just stop at the hearing, but actually do the loving? Let's do it. God, would you be with us? Would you make sure that we are listening? Help us be good listeners, but then also help us be good doers. It's not about us. It's about you and others. Help us love well, like a strong house on strong rock. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Let's head to church school together.
Holy God, home of all who seek you, may you find in our hearts paths to walk, wandering with us through dark valleys, dipping us in pools of living water, lifting our faces to grace, falling softly upon us. Loving Lord, speaker of tough words, we would wish for an easy life as we follow you to our home. Help us to see that when we mop floors, we find our meaning. When we hammer nails, we discover our hope. When we embrace the sick, we touch our healing. We pray this day for an end to hatred, vitriol, and vengeance among our people, for an end to gun violence and for sensible gun control in this country, for the war-plagued people of Gaza and Ukraine and Sudan and other places in this world, for the healing of the planet, for refugees and immigrants looking for a place they can trust as home, for our hungry and unhoused siblings, for trans people living into their true identity in an increasingly hostile environment. We remember this day our beloved friend David Gregg, whose life we'll celebrate this afternoon. We pray for Bob Reynolds, for John Vandervliet, for Becky Lepley, for Ashley Harrison, for Adrian Moulton Headley, Rob Snyder, Marlene Francis, Roberta Hawes, Betty Doman, Mervyn Ucart, Esther Floyd, Catherine Cartier, Linda Berg, Marilyn Marsh, Dakota Lawson, Helga Mortensen, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Faye Key. We celebrate the birth of Clara Jean Laidlaw and pray for her family, Louisa and Sam, and her big brother, Weston. We remember this day the family and friends of Charlie Clerk, Kirk, and all those who were affected by that assassination this week, in whatever way they were affected. For those who lost loved ones on 9/11. For Nancy Rose Gerler, for friends and family, for Dan Zick. We lift up also our pastoral search committee as they do the work of looking for new pastoral leadership for this congregation. Spirit of strength, bearer of our prayers, we would ask for the strength to say yes when no is on our lips, the wisdom to welcome all into our hearts, the longing to be with you always. God in community, holy and one, hear us now as we pray together as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father,
Let us reflect on our need for God together. You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless till they rest in you. I invite you to pray with me now. Holy friend, beneath the din of the shouting world, enable us to hear your still, small voice of calm. Help us to shake free of the clamorous voices and to choose you before all else, above all else, ahead of all else. Help us to rest our weariness in the divine bedrock, which is more basic than the universe, and to lift up our hearts towards that supreme beauty before whom saints and angels fall down in wonder, love, and praise. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Silence is kept now for a time so that we might meditate, reflect, be still, draw closer to the holy. I invite you to lift your own prayers of desire and recognition. By love, we are saved, friends. This is good news, which supersedes all other. The love we speak of is not ours. It is a gift of God and rises in the ministry of Christ's life and death and resurrection and is brought near to us today by Christ's Spirit. So lift up your heads. We are a forgiven and healed, a precious people. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Be seated. Pray with me. O Lord, faithful God, you are our rock and our refuge. Help us to hear your word as truth and to act on it in faith, that all may come to know your love. Amen. One of my favorite parables is the parable of the three little pigs. Now, don't reach for your Bible. I'm pretty sure you won't find it there. But it would fit nicely alongside Jesus' images of the carpenters or builders who choose to build their houses on rock or sand. Remember, the first little pig is in a big hurry, so she throws up a house made of the most common and easy-to-work material she can find, straw, and then runs out to play. The second little pig is very taken with the latest retro fashion, and so she constructs a house of sticks because that's the latest thing. Then she invites her chicest friends to admire how cool her house is. The third little pig, well, she's something of a practical plotter. She chooses to build her house with plain old bricks. It takes quite a while to fit and mortar all those bricks, so her play time is limited. The cool people all point and laugh at what an ordinary house she's putting together. But when the big bad wolf comes to town looking for lunch, where do they all end up? I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, is the wolf's mantra. It's not difficult to imagine how meaningful that threat is when your house is made of straw. Whoosh, it's gone. Sticks don't stand up much better to the powerful wind from the wolf. Each successive little pig escapes by the hair of her chinny-chin-chin to the third little pig's house, where they live happily ever after, because everyone knows that no matter how big or bad or full of hot air, a wolf cannot blow down a brick house. Solid foundations, solid structure when the winds come howling. It doesn't matter if the winds blow from the weather or the winds blow from a wolf at the door, a brick house on a rock foundation will survive every time. I'm reminded of selling my mother's house, which I think I talked about last week, her house in Boise after her death. In many ways, it was quite a fine house. It was custom built for my mother and stepfather. They had the wherewithal to build the house from the best materials available, redwood and cedar and so forth, and on a firm foundation built into the side of a hill. It was their dream home, and it withstood a lot, even as it provided much joy. But at 40-some years old at the time, and in a buyer's market, the realtors advised that we empty it and leave it unstaged, so prospective buyers might see and admire the bones, the skeletal structure of the building. Because whoever bought the house would surely want to remodel it to their own contemporary taste. So what we were selling was not so much a home as a solid framework from which the next owners could create their own home. At the time, I showed some friends a picture of the empty house, and one of the family gathered around the table. While they admired the structure, their more immediate reaction was that it was the second photo that looked like a home. You see, it takes more than a foundation, more than the bones, to make a home. Still, a home needs a solid frame and a sure foundation if it is to survive and thrive. Now, when Jesus tells the tale of the wise and foolish builders, He's not talking literally about the construction business. It's a metaphor for something that might be even more important amid the threats and challenges of living in this world today. Something that we might build a life on. Something in which you would anchor this community. Foundational words. Foundational words. Oh, I can hear you. That's kind of ridiculous. Words are easy and talk is cheap. That's even more foolish than the pigs that made their house of straw and sticks or the carpenter who builds his house on the sand. But wait, let's dig a little deeper into what Jesus is saying about foundational words. See, in Matthew's gospel, this image of building houses comes at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, that great collection of sayings and teachings of Jesus that begins so beautifully with the Beatitudes. This is when you'll want to pull out your Bibles and read back through chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. I'm pretty sure you will find there words to build a life on. Words to anchor a community in. Foundational words that might make a whole new world God's beloved community. Of course, it's not literally the words themselves, the letters and symbols that lie there on the page and moving on which we want to pin our hopes. As with all language, these words only serve to carry the meaning that must be met and become the bricks and mortar with which we build our homes, with which we shape our lives. Richard Beaton, commenting on today's text, observes, "This final story summarizes the entire Sermon on the Mount. The message is clear. Discipleship occurs in the everyday practices of Jesus' followers." Hear that? If the words are not truly foundational of something more that is not put into practice, they are meaningless. He continues, "Jesus' words here balance the misunderstanding of Paul in today's Christian world that can be distorted into a gospel of grace without ethical demand." It sounds a lot like Dietrich Bonhoeffer writing about cheap grace. Grace without ethical demand doesn't cut it. Beaton insists that Jesus is not suggesting that a new law replace the old. Rather, love for and devotion to God must be accompanied by a life that honors God. Or to put it another way, becoming a follower of Jesus is to decide to become a member of his society and is marked by a willingness to live one's life according to the values and beliefs of that society. Friends, that sounds a lot like foundational words. Words that carry true belief and value, founded in Christ's vision of God's beloved community. Thus, Beaton says, one becomes part of the people of God. Jesus' invitation is an invitation to encounter with God and a different way of living life. So stop for a minute and play a little game. Let's imagine that we are building our lives or constructing our community. What are some of the foundational words on which we might want to rely? And you'll experiment. In your bulletin, you have a connection card or maybe on the back of a prayer card or something. Just write down a foundational word. Write down a foundational word for you, one on which you would want to build your life or construct this community or both. And then when the ushers come, you can put those in the offering plate and We'll sort it all out at the end of the service and just see what you come up with in terms of what you think are foundational words for the living of your life and for the life of this beloved community. Words that come to mind are words like honesty, responsibility, kindness, trust, constancy, humility, presence, service, generosity, patience, respect, love. Now here's the rub. Beaton tells us that we all have a set of assumed beliefs, that what we think we believe, and then he says we have our real beliefs. Those beliefs are revealed in our behavior. Any sense of a disconnect there in yourself or others? Do you ever see a disconnect with what we say we believe and what we live out that we believe? Beaton observes, for Christians in the West, we affirm and make much of doctrinal statements, views on social justice, poverty, or even what it means to be truly spiritual. Our challenge, he said, however, is to align our practices, the behaviors of our workday lives, with our stated beliefs. To give Paul a fair shake, I'm reminded here of some important words he wrote in that wonderful 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of humans or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move a mountain, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Well, there's a foundational word for you. Love. Love. Perhaps there's no other word that is more foundational, nothing more dependable for building a life or constructing a beloved community than the steadfast love of God as lived out in Christ Jesus. You may have thought this morning that I mined my hymn sources for every hymn that refers to foundation. I imagine there are a few I missed. I was thinking particularly on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, for those of you who come from a more evangelical tradition. For some of us old timers, I believe the first hymn that would come to mind is The Church is One Foundation, which affirms that the church is one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. But I find some of the words in that hymn troublesome, and so I've come to prefer the words of my mentor, my beloved friend Rod Romney, that we will sing at the end of the service this morning. The church's strong foundation is God's eternal love. Through mystery of creation, it entered from above. Through spirit still descending, with love we can't refuse. It needs no staunch defending, it but comes as God's good news. We share Christ's way of living, shape future as he would, cross borders of forgiving, and share our humanhood. We hide not in tradition, in creeds that make no last stand, but find in love's position the kingdom is at hand. Sing out in celebration of love renewed, restored, as we in consecration live out the healing word. The church's strong foundation is God's eternal love, and we in consecration are called to live out this healing word. If we're not careful, we might find here a foundational word on which to build a wonderful new world for ourselves, our community, and our neighbors beyond. Amen. Invite our ushers to come now and collect our morning offerings. Invite you to give generously in support of this, your own community, and of all the ministries that this community is involved in. As you share your blessing with us, gracious God, you show great faith that we will use them wisely and offer them generously to others. So by faith may our gifts bring healing to the broken, hope to the despairing, and laughter to those who mourn. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just after we pass the peace, we will sing our closing hymn, which will be the church's strong foundation. And now I invite you to greet one another with the peace of this day. God of encouragement, give us the love to do well those things which Christ calls us throughout this new week. Give us the will to do carefully the things that are complex and difficult. Give us the patience to do conscientiously the many things that seem boring. Give us the wisdom to do cheerfully the things that go against our grain. Let nothing come between us that we may reflect your glory without being aware of it. Indeed, O God, let us carry the light. Amen.